You're listening to The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heidmark at RadioArian.com.
Comrades, this is your host of The Daily Traditionalist, Matthew Heimbach, and I'm happy to be here with another edition of the show. And I'm joined today by Sven Longshanks, and we're going to kick off with a discussion about something very interesting. We've seen this in America, where we had unaccompanied minors flowing across the southern border, and many of these minors weren't, in fact, minors, but they were labeled as such to be able to get around some of our laws when it comes to immigration. And there's a similar scandal happening in Britain. So, Sven, how are you doing? And tell us a little bit about the most recent insane labor scandal that is hitting the UK.
Hi, Matt. Yeah, glad to be here once again. I'm doing pretty well. But the main sort of news at the moment, I mean, it keeps coming through on the BBC with the news flash, is about these so-called unaccompanied children that were in the Calais jungle camp. Now, a lot of these, as we know, the people that are actually at this Calais jungle camp, they're rapists, murderers, thieves, muggers. There's been a journalist that's been raped there this week. There's been a Sky TV crew that have had rocks thrown at them. All sorts of trouble goes on there. And we've been told that because they want to remove the camp, break the camp down, that we've got to take these so-called unaccompanied minors that are there. Now, I don't think that there is likely to be anyone under the age of 18 that is unaccompanied, but apparently there's 400 unaccompanied minors there, and these poor dears, they've managed to struggle their way across war-torn Europe from Syria with nothing but the shoes on their feet and the bag over their back, and they've managed to make it all the way to Calais on their own, and it's all because their entire family, for some reason or another, we don't quite know this, but for some reason their entire family lives in Britain, so we have to take them. And of course it's a Jew that's right at the front there demanding that we take them. In fact, this Jew called Lord Dubs actually managed to get an amendment put onto the Act of Parliament to force this through, that we actually had to take any of these minors if they claimed that they had family in Britain. So they've taken the first group of these so-called children, and they all look like they're over 20. I mean, they've got beards, they're 6 foot tall, they've just hair sprouting out of them everywhere. These are adults, these are not under 18 year olds. And the aid charities have said, oh, well, this is because premature aging, because they've come from a war zone, they've aged early, and it's caused their growth to speed up. Which is a load of nonsense. Nothing makes your growth speed up. They haven't suddenly had a growth spurt. Their balls haven't suddenly dropped because they were originally in Syria. And it's just absolute nonsense. And it's also just come out today that up until June this year, the unaccompanied minors that they actually took in, 70% of them have been found out to actually be over the age of 18. 70%. Now, that's not one or two. I mean, that's a large number of these frauds basically are over the age of 18, and I think it's been about 100 they're saying that they're going to be taken from Calais. Some people might say, well that's not that much, but they've also been taking hundreds from Greece as well, and they'll be taking them from other countries in Europe if they say that they've got family in Britain. And when you look at what the family in Britain is, I mean, it's an uncle. You know, you've got an uncle there that they interviewed in the Daily Mail, and he says, well, I haven't seen poor Muhammad for 7 years. Well, I've got uncles that I haven't seen for 7 years. And it hardly means that I've got a right to go and live with them, does it? You know, it's absolute madness. And the other thing that struck me about this, or one of the other things that struck me about this, is that in Sweden, we've got 13-year-old girls that apparently are the brides of some of these invaders, and they're actually changing the law over there. They're making accommodations so that they can allow these refugees to sleep with these 13-year-old children, because apparently they're married to them, and apparently that's their legal wife. So if they can be legal wives at the age of 13, how can they still be classed as children if they're male trying to get into the country at the age of 17? It just doesn't make any sense. And if they are unaccompanied children, if they are abandoned children, as it were, then surely the family should be not locked up for neglect. Why have they abandoned their children in a foreign country? If the parents have a right to be in Britain, why have they abandoned their children in a foreign country? Surely if me or you did that, we'd be locked up, Matt.
Oh, of course. I mean, the entire thing is the system. They're doing the same thing. And again, this tells us exactly what is going on, that the same tactics are used by the same Jews in every single European country. They're promoting this idea in America and in Europe, doing the same things. As again, I was talking about the flood of miners that they say, and we're not talking about coal miners or anything like that. We're talking about supposedly under 18 kids being sent for the sake of democracy and freedom, and things are dangerous in Latin America. So, as you mentioned, it's so much safer for them to be trekking across, Latin America, across Mexico from the southern border to the Rio Grande, and then coming into the United States. Apparently that's safer than being in their communities with their families. And, you know, it's absolute nonsense. Of course, we know George Soros is supporting pumping these people across our borders. And this is an overall Jewish plot to be able to subvert the laws that we have for immigration, to find whatever excuse they can to get the most non-whites into white countries as humanly possible. They will absolutely go out of their ways to lie. You know, it's getting bad. I saw Laura Southern and other, normal kind of Republicans tweeting about this, that it's gone too far. There are guys that look 15, 16, 18, 20 years old being taught how to color in European schools. They're young children, on a basketball team. They found out one of the refugees that was playing was in his late 20s for a junior high team. I mean, they absolutely are being coddled. They're being coached. And it's all about the purpose of being able to bring as many non-whites into Europe and America as humanly possible to go against the laws. And this is why the laws that we have in the books are just not enforced. I mean, American immigration policy actually isn't that bad, all things considered. The problem is nobody follows it, Republican or Democrat. I don't know a single state that follows it. And as we see in the American Southwest, Sheriff Joe Arpaio might actually be going to prison because of him following federal and state immigration laws. He is in contempt of court and several other things because he's upholding the law when he swore an oath to uphold the law. He's facing jail time, and he's faced over a decade of lawsuits, countless attacks on him personally and on his reputation. And that's just one sheriff trying to uphold the law in Arizona. And, the system doesn't want it. They want to break, or at the very least bend, all of the laws we have to protect ourselves to further along our genocide and our destruction. So, I mean, do you see the same thing in the UK, Sven, when it comes to that? I mean, there's this case, but otherwise, when it comes to immigration, when it comes to double standards, that the laws are there for us, but they're not there for the Chosenites, and they're not there for the pets and the minions of the Chosenites that they're using for their agendas.
Well, yes. I mean, when I leave the country and come back in again, I have to have a passport. I have to stand in a queue and be investigated to check that I am who I say I am. And sometimes, you have to queue for quite a while, whereas these people just turn up with no papers, say that they're under the age of 18, say that Uncle Abdul lives in London and we haven't seen him for 10 years, and apparently they have some right to come into Britain and be given housing and education and free medicine and everything else that my ancestors saved up for to give to me and my descendants, not to them. And you bring up the point there that it's the Jews that are behind this, and the laws that you've actually got that aren't being enforced. Well, our laws are slack enough as they are, and this Jew, this Lord Dubs, changed the law. He got a special add-on bit to the actual bill that went through Parliament, so that instead of these refugees having to claim asylum in the first country that they come to, if they're under the age of 18, they can, doesn't matter what country they're in, doesn't matter where they have claimed asylum from, they automatically have a right to come into Britain. And this Lord Dubs that changed this law, apparently he was on the Kinder transport coming into Britain from Germany. And a large portion of those Jewish children that came into Britain grew up to become communist spies. And they were reporting back to Moscow on all the Baltic partisans where their whereabouts were, so that the communists could lock up the families, send them off to gulags, and murder the Baltic peoples. And that's what these traitors were doing that we actually allowed in. So the fact that we've got one of these Jews that actually came into Britain, and he's saying, well, remember how you saved us Jewish children and what a great help we were. They weren't a help at all. They caused the murder of thousands of people, these Jewish children did, once they grew up. And these Syrian unaccompanied minors, they're coming from a war zone. We know that ISIS used child soldiers. And, you know, this is a serious problem among the brown peoples, is child soldiers. They're savages. You know, they've seen this war going on in their own country. They know who it is that's behind it. They know that it's the West that are funding these terrorist groups. They hate us. And you can see the look on the faces of these unaccompanied minors. And it's just pure hatred looking down the camera lens. They just look really evil to me. And of course, in Germany, when they let in the unaccompanied minors, put them with foster families, and immediately one of them pulls out a knife and goes stab crazy. I believe it was in a train carriage. He stabbed six or seven people in a train carriage, this unaccompanied minor did. So we already had have previous freakouts by these minors once they actually get into a civilized country. And this is just a danger and a threat to everyone in Britain by doing this. And the other point that you bring up there about them being in the junior schools, just think of what that's going to be like. A 25-year-old Arab in a school with white children. You know, we know how badly they treat the white children as it is. We're continuously hearing about the way that the Muslims take our white girls and turn them into sex slaves. We're continually hearing about this child abuse that they're involved in. And what they're actually doing here is going to be putting 20, 25-year-old Arabs in a school full of white school children. How long is it going to be before there's another tragedy like the one that happened in Rotherham, but just happening localised within a school? I don't think it will be very long before we start to hear about this. One good point about this is that there have been MPs that have noticed this. They're saying, what the hell is going on? These are not unaccompanied children. These are not vulnerable children. There are no females among them. There is nobody that looks like they're under the age of 20 among them. And yet we've had all these aid agencies wringing their hands and talking to the media. We've had all these celebrities going over there and crying and saying how they apologise for Britain and Britain's refugee policy and how terrible we are for not letting these children in. And yet they're all adults. And some of these MPs have seen this. And it's actually the MPs that are saying they need to be tested. Their teeth need to be tested. It's quite a simple test that they can do with their teeth. A dentist can do it and can tell them how old they are, the same as you can tell how old pretty much any animal is just by looking at its teeth. But then you've got the leftist politicians, and you've got the aid companies and the charity companies, and they're all saying, oh no, that's far too intrusive. Far too intrusive. Well, if they're going to throw all their papers away, they're going to have to expect something to be done to identify them, surely. You can't say it's too intrusive.
Well, I mean, is it not intrusive to the average British person who is subsidizing them then being in Britain? You know, spending how many thousands of pounds on each one to be able to support them being in? I tell you what, if I was going to be getting thousands of dollars worth of support or something, I would expect having a little bit of an inconvenience if average British people, whether it's on the docks or in factories or on farms, have to go to work for hundreds of hours to be able to pay just for each refugee with their tax dollars. You would think the refugees could take 5 minutes to do that, but of course they won't do it because they've been coached by these Jewish agencies. I mean, when we talk about these agencies, it must be understood that human rights and all of these different groups, when they talk about human rights, is simply a code word for advancing the Jewish agenda, that they've been coached. Not every Syrian or North African who has rolled up on the shores of Europe figured out by themselves or had one of their uncles tell them, you know, say you're 15. They're being coached by these agencies. You've got Jewish aid agencies giving out life jackets and other supplies to help these refugees keep moving. They're coaching them for when they get into this country. And the same thing happens in the United States with the Latinos. They've got these community organizers that tell them what to say, fill out the paperwork for them, everything like that. and they can get full benefits. It was just in the newspaper today that I was reading about the amount of illegal immigrants that are getting benefits. And at the same time, the American miners are still fighting. This time I'm actually talking about coal miners, are fighting to be able to have Congress extend treatment or coverage for their medical treatment. Because if by the end of the month a new agreement is not signed, coal miners, tens of thousands of them and their families, are going to lose health coverage. And of course, several hundred miners die every single year from black lung. They need medical treatment, poisoning from asbestos and other things. That these are American citizens that kept our lights on, that risked their lives, and we made an agreement to take care of them. And Obama's war on the coal industry has unemployed countless thousands of miners and their families, destroyed an entire region of the United States. But the United States Congress can't come up with enough money to help our miners and to help their families, you know, widows and children of men who have been killed or lost their lives. And yet there are billions of dollars for illegal immigrants who roll up on our shores and have Jewish community organizers teach them what to do, what to say, what to write, to be able to get the maximum amount of benefits. So if that doesn't tell me about a clear double standard, that's just anti-white, that there's nothing else that can be said about this. It's just anti-white policies where we're told to sit down, shut up, pay for these things, and any reason or sense or policy that would actually benefit the nation, benefit our communities, is thrown out the window in the name of being called racist.
Well, yeah, there's another point that someone's just raised in the chat room as well. If they suspect that you're on drugs at the airport, they strip search you. And yet you're suspecting that this is a false person that's not got any documents, that's lying in order to get into the country, and it's too intrusive just to look at their teeth. You know, I mean, the strip searching, there's nothing more demeaning than being strip searched. And yet they won't even look at these refugees' teeth. And when you talk about the organisations, Matt, I mean, we know that these organisations are out there in Cali and they're coaching them. They're telling them exactly what to say. They're saying, throw away your documents. Say that you come from Syria. I mean, some of these people, the supposed miners, have been black as soot. They certainly didn't come from Syria. They certainly came from Africa, Negroid types. And yet they're apparently coming into the country saying that they're Syrian refugees, they've been told to throw all their paperwork away, and then they're coached on exactly what it is they need to say. And once they get into the country, they can pretend not to know how to speak English, they can demand to have an interpreter if ever they get caught in trouble. And eventually, you know, when they get caught by the police doing things, it just becomes too much bother for the police to actually go through everything in trying to arrest them. So in a lot of cases, they just don't bother to arrest them. And they even have an official guideline saying not to arrest the refugees in Germany that's been sent out, because it's too much of a workload to get all the interpreters and find out exactly the truth from them, because you're just not going to get the truth from them. They can just clam up and pretend not to be able to speak English. And it's so simple. We have these differences between the races. It should be so simple to see who is an intruder in your country and who isn't. And yet, because we've allowed all of this mass immigration, we now have the confusion of saying, well, some of these people are good, some of these people are bad. We can't have ID cards because that will intrude on people's civil liberties. We can't just round them all up because we've got good ones and bad ones. Probably at least 5% of the country in Britain is here illegally with no documents, that smuggled itself in. And yet if we had just stuck to the colour line and said, right, only people in Britain are white, anyone here that is not white, they are suspicious, they need to be hoofed out. And that's how it was for centuries. In Egypt, they even had a sign there. If you've got black skin and you walk past this sign, the death sentence is for you. You know, they kept their nations and their city states. They kept them separate from these other races. You know, if there were a few blacks that were in Britain a couple of hundred years ago, and the Queen actually got rid of them all. Said, we can't be dealing with this. We can't be having this. This is not on. This is a white country and they need to be removed. And she did remove them all because she said if they stay here, they'll start undercutting the workers' wages. But it was quite simple then to see who belonged here and who didn't. You didn't need paperwork. You didn't need a passport. You didn't need an ID card. It was just what you looked like. Either you looked British, or you looked like King Brutus, who was white, or you didn't. That simple.
Exactly. And that's to be understood that, you know, your race is your nation, and we can go back linguistically, we can go back historically. The way it's always been is your people are your brothers, are your sisters, are your kinsmen. That is your nation. It's not your civil government. It's not even necessarily the borders, because borders can change over time. But your blood is your nation, and that needs to be understood. So these proposition nations are trying to redefine Europe as they're trying to redefine America as, are going against the very understanding of what a nation is. And I want to talk about something. We're talking about double standards, and I just read this. I think it's a very interesting case. It just goes to show where things are going. And it's rather horrifying, actually. So in Illinois, over the summer, there was an argument at some sort of public festival. Alcohol was involved. There was an argument between a young white woman in her mid-20s and a black couple. The black couple admitted they used racial slurs against the white woman. She used the N-word in response and apparently spit at them. And allegedly, a drop of the spittle landed on the woman's arm. She has just been arrested and charged for 2 hate crimes, along with battery. So it wasn't the spitting. She's only alleged to have spit on, partially on the black woman who was there, the wife in question. But for using the N-word in Illinois now, that is apparently a hate crime. And I want to talk about this because it's a scary principle where the law is being applied that we know from this case, they used racial slurs against whites to this woman. And when we respond, that is considered a hate crime. We're entering Orwellian territory when it comes to thought crime. And as nationalists, this is something that we have to really understand, because in America, you've been told for a long time, we've talked about it when it comes to calling out the Jews and things like that. Historically, we've been able to do that. We've had the protection of our First Amendment. We've had multiple Supreme Court cases that have upheld the right to freedom of speech on nationalist issues. But it looks like slowly but surely, this is being whittled away. And they're arresting people for years, because hate crimes, of course, are severe crimes. If we look, for instance, at Ole Miss, I believe it was a year or two ago, a drunken student put a noose in a Confederate flag, or it might have even just been the state flag that, of course, has the battle flag on it, on a statue of the first black student that came to Ole Miss. And he was arrested for violating the civil rights of a statue and ethnic intimidation. You can be arrested if you go against blacks or if you go against Jews or things like that. If you're offending inanimate objects that represent these peoples, you can be arrested with hate crimes and be sent to prison for years. More than I just had a friend who was dealing with a traffic issue in court up in Indianapolis. And there was a black man that apparently shot 2 people who was able to get supervised probation for several years, didn't even serve a time in jail for shooting 2 people. He, for dealing with his license issue, basically had a similar punishment. So we're talking about a system in America where freedom of speech essentially does not exist anymore. And especially if Hillary Clinton becomes president, we need to start questioning what sort of things, you know, they'll maintain free speech. They'll never repeal the First Amendment. They'll just redefine, as they have in the UK with English common law, freedom of speech, if it's incitement to racial hatred, if you violate someone's civil rights by disagreeing with them when they're black, you can be in serious trouble. So, Sven, I want to know your thoughts, not just on this specific case I'm talking about, because I know I just read about it, but in general about how freedom of speech in America, I think very soon nationalists like myself are going to be under the gun, just like you guys are in Europe, and perhaps face a very fierce assault from a Hillary Clinton presidency, and at the very least, as areas become majority non-white with their police forces, prosecutors, things like that, things could get very rough here for American nationalists or just average everyday white people that that reject political correctness.
Well, it links in with what we were just previously talking about, Matt. I mean, what they've done is they've taken advantage of our empathy to say that we should allow these other races into our countries, and that we should be treating them the same as us, giving them all the access to medical care, schooling, everything that we've built up. And then on top of that, they're saying that we now need to give them also a privileged position, so that we can't criticize them. And over here in Britain, they're now saying that they want to make saying Zionist illegal. They want that to be an illegal word. They want that to be the next bad word, is Zionist. So you cannot even use the word Zionist. Of course, Jews who are talking about Zionism in a positive way, they'll be exempt. But anyone else that uses the word Zionist, if the Jews decide that they're not sufficiently pro-Jewish enough, then they'll be taking them to court over it. This is something that they're talking about doing just now. And the hate crime thing, when people think of hate crime, they think of somebody being murdered. And just recently, we had a soap opera over here in Britain. They had a homosexual that got murdered in it. And immediately they were saying, oh, it's a hate crime, it's a hate crime. And the people that did it, I think they got 30 years or something like that, making it how terrible it was that he was killed for his sexuality, all that sort of nonsense. And so in the people's mind's eye who have never heard of hate crime before, they will think that a hate crime means that it's somebody that's been murdered. But it doesn't mean that, because it also means just normal criticism. They're trying to say that criticism of blacks on Twitter is a hate crime. Criticism of Jews on Twitter is a hate crime. Photoshopping a picture is a hate crime. So in the people's mind's eye, they think that hate crime is murder. Well, we don't want people being murdered, so they think it's a good thing. But what it actually is the criminalising of any speech that criticises these privileged minority groups, because we're not just being expected to see them as equals, we're expected to see them as privileged groups. And in the case of Jews, we're expected to show that we love them all the time. You know, I mean, what is anti-Semitism? It's just not liking the Jew. And what they've done is make it illegal to not like Jews. So in order to not be seen to be breaking the law, you have to be seen to be pro-Jewish all the time. They're trying to make the default position to be pro-Jewish and pro these other races and anti-white. That is the default position. I think they're trying to legally make it into law that people have to be anti-white all the time, and that will be the default position. And it's us that are speaking out against this. It's us that have people in prison for these free speech laws, because people just don't realise it here in Britain that we have these laws, and they're actually for preventing people from criticising these other races. Joshua Bonehill in prison 4 years for a cartoon picture of a Jew on the internet. And we have others. I've known of someone sent to prison for a year for putting bacon on the handle of a mosque. Silly things that would have been regarded as jokes 20 years ago can now get people prison sentences. And it's because these other groups have been elevated to this privileged position. They've been put into a higher position than ever any of our upper classes were ever put in before. And we've always been able to criticise them, but we can't now criticise these other races, and especially the Jews, who appear to be running everything. And Voltaire said, if you want to know who it is that rules you, then work out who it is that you cannot criticise. And it's gone beyond not criticising, it's now not liking them. I mean, think how insecure these Jews must be to think that they have to make a law to prevent people not liking them. I couldn't give a damn who liked me. I have more self-esteem than to base my self-esteem on what other people think of me. And these Jews just seem so obsessed with what other people think of them. You know, they must be very, very shallow people to be obsessed with that all the time.
They are, and I was reading that Twitter. I mean, and the reason they're freaking out and the reason they're increasing repression against nationalist thought is I read that billions and billions of people, you know, of course, multiple people could have interactions with anti-Semitic tweets, but they were viewed billions of times over the past year. That is a huge reach of people amongst the alt-right, amongst nationalists in multiple countries, calling out the Jews for what they're doing, identifying the Jewish oligarchs, talking about their policies, and fighting for the truth. I mean, CNN talking about it's illegal to read WikiLeaks, but of course journalists can do it, and they can break the truth down. It's funny, they might condemn the Catholic Church for having a rule during part of the Middle Ages when only Catholic priests were allowed to read the Bible because it was in Latin. There were few copies. We can get into what they portray it as. Was being, you know, of course, is inaccurate. But, you know, they're saying that they're the ones who should control all the access to the information about what our corrupt oligarchs and traitorous politicians are doing. They're scared of the truth. They're scared of knowledge. They're scared of us getting this message out there. And it's really our responsibility to be able to stand up and to be able to keep fighting this. But you're totally right that they've been put in such this position with the Chosenites on top, with the Jews, of course, putting themselves and there are other members of their tribe on top, and using these other races to push us down into the mud as they're genociding us in our own countries and sending our men off to fight in their wars, bankrupting our nations. We need to keep fighting for the truth, and we need to be encouraged because our enemy would only resort to this, as I was talking about with Dr. Johnson yesterday, because they're scared of what's happening, about our growing movements, and about the access to the truth that so many people have. So be encouraged. Things are going forward. And we're winning this fight, and that's why the enemy is getting scared. So, comrades, thank you so much for being here today. Sven, thank you as always for your I love having you on as my co-host, and I will look forward to being back with another edition of the Daily Traditionalist tomorrow. So have a great day, and hail victory!
You've been tuned into the Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at Radio Area. .com